Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, good morning. It is Doug Karsh and Scott Anderson. Hope everybody's doing well on a Wednesday. Scott, are you doing well on this Wednesday?
Doing all right.
That's good.
Doing all right. A little nervous, though.
You're nervous about what?
Well, I'm taking Lois into the vet today.
Oh, boy.
After the show. But it's a different visit to the vet. It's trying to figure out what's going on with her back legs. Mm-hmm. They just seem to... When she dismounts off of couch or a bed or anything, mm-hmm. the back legs just kind of drop, like she's in pain and she's not. It takes her forever to get comfortable. She's lying down, so we've been trying to figure this out because I noticed it first about 6 months ago. So because it happened like overnight, one day to the next, something's gone. Yeah. Something's wrong, and she's had a few vet visits since then, and they can't figure it out. But now it's a specialist and. So we'll see.
15-day DL ahead for Lois, maybe.
I hope it's a 7-day stint. I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully they'll be able to diagnose what it is that's wrong, and then we can hopefully find a way to treat it. But she is 11 and a half now, so.
Well, certainly hope that goes well for you.
Thank you.
Yep. Anything exciting last night in the Gator household?
I mean, just bewilderment at the transformation that's taken place the last 2 days with our Tigers.
The juggernaut Tigers?
I'm like, this they hit the ball so damn hard the first couple innings. Like everything they hit, and it would go in the same spot, that same left center field spot. Home run, double, deep fly ball out, you know, and there's a double on the left side, and there's another home run. Here comes another home run. Riley Green, you know, barely squeaking it over the wall in right field with a, you know, a high blast. And that was a fun one. Riley Green's home run. The right fielder, I think it was Valade, goes against the wall, crashes into the wall, can't make the play, falls down, does like a forward roll. The ball had bounced behind a wall and then like kicked up, hit another wall in the bowels of the building, and then comes back out, bounds way up high, and then lands right next to Valade. And Valade's like, oh, wait, I got to make a play on it. Like, no, dude, this thing's been gone for 5 seconds.
Yeah. I think my favorite was the fourth pitch of the game when Gleyber Torres said, well, hello, I'm back. Yeah. And hit a bomb. I mean, they hit him leadoff and he hits a bomb his first time up. Also walks. I'm like, LFG, man. The Tigers have been jumping all over. The Tampa Bay Rays, who you might have said on Monday's show before the series started, and great, now they're going to play a team that's 22-6 at home, or whatever they were. And the Tigers have they pounded Rays pitching. And last night it was an overall dominant performance. And look, there's been a lot of people that have called and asked us, why do they keep parading out Jack Flaherty? And he was 0-7 with a 5.81 ERA going into that game. And, you know, the answer that we gave is, well, if you want to know the answer, you might not agree with it, but if you want to know the answer, it's probably their belief that he gives them the best chance to win his next time out, more so than option B, other guy. Other guy probably being somebody down at AAA because they don't have anybody, you know, left at the big league level to pitch because so many people have been hurt. There are no other options. So they are projecting that he gives them the best chance to win next time out. And there's 40-man roster considerations and things like that. But finally, Flaherty goes out and has an outing like that. Got in trouble a couple times, bottom of the fourth, at second and third with one out, bottom of the third, first and second, no outs, and got out of those jams. And it pitched pretty well.
Yeah, and the thing with Flaherty is he can get out of jams because he can get strikeouts. He can get swing and miss, and that's how he was able to do it last night. Unfortunately for him, he also, you know, threw a ton of pitches. He threw 94 pitches and only, you know, went 5 innings. But it's okay, Doug, because who didn't know that Emmanuel De Jesus was going to come out and throw 4 shutout innings in just 35 pitches?
So the bullpen's fixed.
Yeah, not so much, but
yeah, I know.
He looked great. And I mean, this is the thing. The Tigers, they beat up Tampa pitching so badly last night. The Rays waved a white flag in the sixth inning. They're like, we're done. We're not trying anymore. You know, I mean, DeJesus is has been a very hittable pitcher, and they got nothing off of him. It's zeros across the board except for four strikeouts.
So it was really interesting listening to the guys in the morning a little bit here, Jim Costa and Tom Milliken taking a position of, okay, this is making me take a look. And Stoney's like, hell no. And I started thinking to myself, as bad as this team has been, winning two in a row is something I think if I had asked every Tiger fan on Monday, will this team win two games in a row the rest of the year, 100% would say yes, right?
Yeah, they would. Sure. Yeah, you have to win two in a row at some point.
If I asked the same question on Monday, would this team win three in a row at some point the rest of the year?
Sure.
I think 100% would say yes. From here on out, will they win four in a row the rest of the way, Scott?
I think again, I would say yes. I think the odds are in favor, not because of what I've seen the last two nights,
sure,
because it's baseball.
Do you think 100% of people would say yes, they'll win four in a row the rest
no,
of the year?
No, I think close to it, though.
So three in a row would be 100%, but we get to four in a row.
And it's all right, slow down.
Yeah, it might get 90%, 95%. Yeah. Five in a row.
No, people aren't going to say that.
What about you?
I mean, now? I don't know. I would think so, because they are getting healthy, and I think it does matter. But I don't expect them to get back to 500.
Kang, do you think they'll win five in a row at some point the rest of the year?
No.
Okay. So you draw the line. Do you draw the line at four in a row?
Yeah.
Okay. So you think they'll win four in a row at some point this year, but not five.
At some point, yeah, they'll win four in a row. But
okay. Gator, you say yes to five. What about six?
No. No, because I'm reluctant with five, but I'll do it. And that's, you know.
You know, like, of course people aren't just going to jump back on board because they won two games, right?
No.
But if you're a player in that locker room, I was thinking, like, I know it's weird because it's just all timing. It was a new month. It's a new, like, you have to, like, reset everything. You almost, I'm sure AJ did this, and all the coaches and players are like, listen, you have to forget everything that just happened. That was awful. Game by game, month by, week by week, like, series by series, month by month, right? Like, in their minds, they're 2-0. They have to think like that to continue this. They have to just move forward, and no one's waving a white flag. I mean, they still have to play games. They literally have to go out there and play games no matter what. So you might as well try and win them, right?
Yep.
And so we'll see what happens. Do I think they're going to win five in a row? No, I just answered that. But just because you or I think one way doesn't mean anything.
No, they have to believe.
Yep.
I'm sure they're thinking, we just got to win one in a row today. They went 6-22 in May. And as we got up out of the workstation and made our way into the office, Kang, you said what?
Just do the opposite of what they did in May.
Sure.
Go 20, what was it?
22-6.
22-6.
Yeah.
22-6.
June, go 22-6.
Well, they're off to the right start.
And it's funny because, you know, the two in a row, I don't know that it makes me, I think it is what you want it to be. Like, if you're a fan and you want to enjoy the season, lean into the two in a row. What the hell? They just beat the hell out of Tampa last night. They beat them, the best team, home team record in baseball. So sure, if you want it to be significant, go for it. I don't think it's particularly significant, but it made Tom Milliken start doing math. Tom Milliken started doing math today on how they could get to seven games under by Father's Day. And we decided it was too much. It was too big of an ask because they're 14 under right now. They have like 15 games between now and Father's Day. So you'd
have to win a lot of games.
You'd have to go on quite a tear to shave seven games off that.
But. Well, you can't go on quite a tear until you get the first down, first couple of games down. Yep. So they have done that. They do look like a different team, certainly offensively. They got a great start from, well, I'll say this. It was a good start from Flaherty.
Mm-hmm.
I wish he was able to go longer, but I mean, he threw too many pitches. So, but he got his first win of the year.
I mean, he was 0-7, dude.
His first win of the year, five shutout innings. You'll take it in today's baseball. But I was really encouraged by DeJesus doing what he did. But really, it's the batting. I mean, they had, you know, home run, double and triple before you could blink. They had all those crossed off on their bingo card already in, like, you know, the first couple innings. And add more doubles and more home runs. And you know, they've hit 8 home runs in the last 2 games. Mm-hmm. They've scored 18 runs in the last 2 games. The previous 25 games, this Tiger team had scored just 69 runs. And if you do the math on that, it's less than 3 runs a game. They scored 18 in the last 2. I mean, they just kept putting guys across the board, and suddenly A.J. Hinch is making moves and pressing buttons and pulling switches, and it's all working. You know, for the most part, it's starting to work again.
It's kind of more depressing than anything, and the reason, and look, let's be clear here. We always try and find a way things are going to work out.
It's
we
two
do.
Games.
It's 2 games. The depressing part of it is to me, it's almost like, what could have been? Because this is such a deep hole. It is such
a
deep hole.
And I keep telling myself, this was a 500 team before the guys got hurt. Before Carpenter, Torres, and Skubal got hurt. This was a 500 team, or even slightly better than 500 team. But as often happens, when this team decides to rear up and bow their neck or whatever you want to say, it kind of happens. We'll say things, make observations, and we'll be harsh. We'll be a little critical of somebody, or more than a little critical of somebody, and that person delivers. Like when we knew they were going to bring up Gleyber Torres yesterday. We didn't know who was going to be sent down. Mm-hmm. Like, who is it going to be? Is it going to be Howie Lee? Is it going to be Jermai Jones? Is it going to be Zach Short? And I'm like, it's got to be Zach Short. Let's go. Just move on. Zach Short goes 2-for-3 last night. You know, has a double and a sharp base hit. He played really well. And the balls he hit, he crushed. Like, he really smoked them. And then I start thinking, well, why on earth is he still on this roster? And then I kind of like, okay, I'll reconcile in my head that I don't think he's a major league ball player, but he's got more experience than Howie Lee does. And Howie Lee, they probably want him to play most days, and he's not going to get that with the Tigers.
He's at second base. Glaber's a second baseman. Zach Short's a shortstop. I mean, I think it's simple as that.
Yeah, I don't know if it's that simple.
If Baez were healthy, I think Short would be gone, but.
I don't know.
But didn't Baez have a setback?
He did. Well, yeah. He's got a high ankle sprain, and those are always tricky to try to gauge when you're coming back, but he has not responded well. Yeah. It's just not getting much better. It's taking longer than they thought, so they're giving him some more rest. But, yeah, it's a little bit of a setback there. But, look, for Zach Short last night was good for him. Now, hopefully he doesn't have to play for the next several games. And he just is not. I don't mean that as an attack on him. It's just this is what they needed the day off for the guys because they were facing left-handed pitching. They gave a day off to 3 lefties in the lineup. Here we go. Can Wenzel Perez, he's playing like he wants to stay on this team and doesn't want to, you know, get sent down again lately. So, you know, 2 more hits for him, including a home run, but a weird base running. Almost, it was a mistake, but he got away with it last night. But this team's playing better for sure, but it's 2 games.
Okay.
Today they face a tough pitcher.
Yeah. The thing about it is we're not expecting, if we ask the question, you know, is it significant 2 in a row? The overwhelming answer is probably. Right. The responsible answer is not really particularly. But
do you think they have a run in them?
Do they have a run in them? B, what else? Like if you do think there's anything significant about these 2 games, what is it? Like that makes you go, okay, I'll put an 1/8 of a percentage point on this being maybe significant, but you know, the most minute measurement, what is significant to you about these 2 games, if anything? And then it's probably not much, but also we don't want to overreact to a 2-game winning streak, right?
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
If I were to say that the foundation might be laid or the beginning of a hypothesis, or something that is far from conclusive, but it doesn't appear yet. It's possible that getting players back truly will help. It's possible. I mean, we speculated on it for a long time.
Well, it should help. I mean, I don't know it should help. These are starters they're getting back. Now, does it help enough?
Well,
I doubt that,
but
it makes them more interesting, makes them more entertaining for sure.
You ask yourself percent chance of being successful. Okay. Gage Workman or Gleyber Torres?
Yeah, Gleyber Torres.
Yeah. You know, Kerry Carpenter.
Or Jamai Jones.
Kerry Carpenter.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, and so in theory.
Justin Verlander or Tyler Holton in an opener.
Yeah. But so if you, it's far from this being conclusive evidence, but you can kind of see at least a little bit in these two games how it can make a difference.
Well, I'm getting a little, I'm smiling now in terms of getting a little excited about what we could see in the next 2 weeks. We might actually see the rotation as we envisioned it. We could have a rotation in 2 weeks of Tarek Skubal, Framber Valdez, Justin Verlander, Troy Melton, and Jack Flaherty, and or Cater Montero, whatever you want to do there.
Well, has the pitching, has the starting pitching been healthy this year?
No.
The Tigers team ERA for starters is top eight in baseball. The Tigers walks and hits.
And I forgot about Casey Mize, throwing him in the mix too.
Tigers walks and hits per innings pitched for starters, top eight in baseball. Tigers batting average against, top eight in baseball. This is all with the patchwork starting rotation that they've put together.
So the guys I mentioned, that's seven starting pitchers that they could have healthy in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
If that's the case, and we know that the bullpen has been a major issue with this team, it's going to be interesting to see what kind of conversation A.J. Hinch has with his starters. And obviously they're not going with a seven-man rotation. But do you convince two guys to take on a role where you play,
dude,
say,
we need you out of the pen.
We need you three innings out of the pen every 3 days.
Yeah, repurposing some starters to the pen might make some sense. Because the bullpen, this is the bullpen in Major League Baseball, 4.38 ERA, which is 19th. I think we'd all expect that it was worse than that, but it's still pretty bad. The walks and hits per innings pitched is 1.38 for bullpen arms, which is 21st in baseball. And batting average against is 246, which is 19th in baseball. We also know blown saves is 14, which is the highest in baseball. Any idea that they could really significantly make a run is undermined by a brutal bullpen. So if we sit here and we talk about starters coming back in the lineup, I mean, these last 2 days show what can be. I mean, I don't expect them to score 9 runs a game. But Kerry Carpenter, better option than Jamai Jones. Gleyber Torres, better option than Gage Workman and Hao Yu Lee, apparently. And so the biggest issue this team has that really works against it making a run is just an awful, awful bullpen. And maybe there'll be some, the only hope is regression to the mean, or as you pointed out, repurposing some starters to bullpen roles, right? Could that help in any way? Because starting pitching hasn't been the problem. The lineup hasn't produced runs nearly enough. And now some guys back, they explode. It feels like, remember last week, Kenny had that issue where he...
He was a little backed up.
He was a little backed up, admittedly. And then
took some stuff.
And then what happens... What happens when you get unbacked up is what feels like the Tigers offense has done the last 2 days.
Yes, it does. It feels a lot like that.
Yep.
And look, if the offense can not score 9 runs a game, but if they can score 5 to 7 runs a game, it does take pressure off the bullpen too. Then maybe they're not pressing as much to hang on to this 1-run lead and try to make it stand. Now you might have a 3 or 4 run lead. You can breathe a little easier, try to rely on your defense more, not press as much, and maybe you have better results. I don't know where this team's going here. I brought out the pitching point because I think it is interesting. They literally could have their 7 starters all back and ready to go here in a couple weeks. Verlander pitched last night in Toledo, was outstanding, 5 shutout innings, threw over 60 pitches, and is expected to return to the Tigers this weekend. And make his next start for the Tigers.
Yeah.
We know that Tarek Skubal is, any day now, they'll announce that he's going to make a rehab start with Toledo, and we'll see how that goes. If it goes well, then I'm guessing he's coming back after 1 rehab start. We'll see when Casey Mize comes back, but I don't know if it's that serious. He didn't seem.
And
to
then
think
how
it was
long
that
he's
serious.
And then how long he's back before he
right. he's back before he goes back on. Unfortunately, it's how it's worked with him. You know, and then they had news today or yesterday about Jackson Jobe as well, and he's on pace to return to this team in August
down there in Tampa.
It's 12 months now since he had the surgery, and he apparently is he's throwing all types of bullpen sessions, but he's going to face live hitting soon.
There's some interesting responses from people of what they thought watching the Tigers the last 2 days. It's really intriguing. We want to know what you thought watching the Tigers the last 2 days. 248-539-9797. Any thought you've had in a 10-9 win on Monday and a, was it 8-0 or 9-0 last 8-0. 8-0 win last night. 248-539-9797. Plus, I think we might see something soon here. I think we might see something soon. We will get to that today at 10:32. Here on Carson Anderson on 97.
So that's a good sign. Riley Green hit 36 home runs last year, and as of 3 days ago, he had hit four.
Yeah.
So now it's back-to-back games where he's hit home runs. Good to get that stroke back. They need it.
Yeah, they do. We've asked people, what have you thought watching the Tigers the last 2 days? Here are some of the responses. Jeremy in Fenton says, the most impressive thing about the last two games is that it's against Tampa in Tampa, the best team in the American League right now. Next text. I think what's gotten people's attention and hope back up is we're finally hitting the ball. If these were a couple of 2-1 or 3-2 wins, we wouldn't even be talking about it.
Probably right. I mean, we'd be saying, well, great pitching performances, but where are the bats?
Yeah.
Well, here are the bats.
I do think they'll win 5 in a row, 6 in a row. And make Scott think twice about trading Scoobs, meaning Scott Harris, not Scott Anderson, and make Scott think twice about trading Scoobs and wreck our ability for a good trade. That's from Shot in Sterling Heights. And there is something to be said for getting themselves too close to sell and not far enough away to give up. And I understand where that's coming from. I don't want them in this purgatory where they go, well, you know, only 4.5 back in the wild card. How can you give up on the season? And yet.
I think the greatest thing that could happen to this team is that they trade Skubal and then somehow find themselves still within striking distance.
Not sure how that happens. But
well, what did I just say, though? That happened, right? When they gave their best pitcher, second best pitcher away, and they still made it. But I just talked about how they have 7 starters in a couple weeks here. 8 if you want to include Ty Madden. So they have the horses here, albeit, you know, the potential Cy Young candidate, Tarek Skubal, you know, be ideal if you had him going the rest of the way. But, you know, if you think you've got good enough pitching, you still have to be responsible to what's going on here. I significantly doubt that this team is going to be within striking distance by the trade deadline.
They'd have to win a lot of games. Yeah, but there's a lot of time.
Well, it's not just they have to win a lot. Other teams have to lose a lot.
That's true. Watching last night, being completely bewildered. Like, what team is this? Do you remember Bro that called 2 days ago, Monday, who was down in Tampa, and said, I've been offered free tickets and I don't want to go because I don't want to watch this? And it was the wild 10-9 crazy-ass game. He had free tickets.
Didn't want to go.
All right. You mentioned this a little bit, but things were afoot last night in Des Moines or wherever the hell I was. Yeah. You mentioned Verlander. I have a bit of a fear that JV is cooked. And so anytime he goes out, even at a rehabilitation start, 5 innings, 4 hits, no runs, no walks, 3 strikeouts, 64 pitches, 48 strikes. He was really good, and that included him sitting out between the 4th and 5th inning when the Mudhens batted forever, and he got back up, went out there, and was still effective after a long wait, which for an older pitcher coming back is good to see. Hopefully feels good today. I hope he's not cooked, but I have my concerns that they really, you know, his looking forward to his return, there's no sort of guarantees as to, you know, what he may provide. I think we might see Max Anderson soon.
We might. He's going to have to keep keep hitting and draw some more walks, and he has drawn more walks. He now has 6 on the season.
He's got like 5 in his last 8 games. And people ask, how come he's not up?
That was it.
Because he had 1 walk and, you know, 75 plate appearances, whatever it was. I don't know what the exact number was, but he wasn't, you got to develop a little bit better of an eye. Make sure you're not swinging pitches outside the zone and take advantage of it when there are pitches outside the zone.
But they're not going to call him up just to call him up. They're not going to call him up unless he can play almost every day. And how is that going to happen?
Well, I think Gleyber Torres will get traded.
That's why,
look, if you look at the 2023 draft by Scott Harris, the first pick was Max Clark. Max Clark hit a bomb last night. And
his third of the season.
Boy, was the bling bouncing off his chest as he rounded third. I watched the highlight and I'm like, dude, he is out there. But last night, Max Anderson, the bespectacled one, went 4 for 6 with 4 RBIs, had a 2-run homer in the first, had an RBI double in the third. He's hitting .311 now. Now, one of his hits was an infield pop-up against a position player pitching an Ephus pitch. So it wasn't like 4 for 6 with 4 ropes.
Three hits, how's that?
Yeah. But I think you look at Gleyber being back and a high probable trade candidate. Like if they are sellers, I think Gleyber's as good as gone, maybe even more so than Scooble, because I don't know if anybody's going to meet the Tigers' asking price for Scooble. But I think we're going to see Max Anderson sooner rather than later.
Well, trade deadline is August 3rd. So how aggressive will the Tigers be in trying to shop someone like Gleyber Torres? A lot of it may be dependent on how Max Anderson continues to hit at Toledo and field there as well. But if he is starting to draw a walk every other game, that type of play, and increases that on-base percentage, and now you get a gap between his batting average and on-base percentage, and it's like 80 points, then I think you're answering your own question that maybe the Tigers are going to start to be aggressive and push for that trade for Torres. And again, that's dependent on how far out they are in the standings. But, you know, assuming the Tigers are going to be a 500 baseball team the rest of the way, then that time's going to come sooner than later where, okay, you can say, let's move them. But I agree with you. And I think they have to move Gleyber Torres in this season if this is deemed obvious that they're not playoff bound. And I think that should be painfully obvious in maybe a month.
Kang needs some advice. We'll get to that today at 1102-248-539-9797. Feedback coming in. What have you thought watching the Tigers the last 2 days? Because it's such a departure from what May was. You flip the calendar and the bats explode. Now guys are coming back, but that doesn't mean 9 runs a game, right? Bruno in Dearborn says, Tiger thoughts. I thought exactly what Kang said earlier. Go 22-6 in June and erase what happened in May. I hope AJ sat those guys down and told them it's not over. They can go on a little run. They get their heads above water. Let's just wait and see. A named texter. If they go 7-3 over the next 10, they'll have my attention. Adam and Warren says, I'm the one that jinxes the Tigers. I have my profile picture of my Tiger stuff in the background picture of the ballpark on my Facebook. In the background picture of the ballpark, my face. Okay, yeah, Tigers in the background. Took it down, and they won 2 in a row. I'll take the hit, LOL. It's his fault.
Do what you can do.
Yeah. What did he replace it with, though? Does that now get the bad mojo, you know?
It's like Jinx Wall.
Yeah.
Is Adam and Warren's Facebook page.
Jinx profile Avatar? Page. I don't know.
Yeah. Adam, what'd you put up instead? The most significant part of these last 2 games that it actually makes me enjoy watching the game, and I think if they can get people to be more positively engaged, it can do nothing but help them. Look, it's funny because you listen to guys talk after games, and here's what you hear. You hear just the frustration in their voices. You hear they're despondent, totally. They're wallowing in the fluids of despair. And it's everyone. When you listen to this post-game stuff, they're just
heads down.
Yeah. They just
can't explain what's happening.
And there's definitely more of a pep in the step, even though we all know what it is.
Right. And Hinch afterwards,
2 games,
I think it was after yesterday's game. He's like, look, you know, everybody's smiling, having a good time. You know, it's fun to win. And that's what it is. It's fun to win. Hey, look, they're having fun because they're winning, mm-hmm. right? They're hitting the ball. They're stinging the ball, baseball all over the place. I mean, the fact that they've hit, I think they've had like four shots that left center field area. A couple have gone out of the park. One was for a double and one's for a triple in the last two games. That's fun to watch. And my takeaway from these last two games is they're entertaining again. Whether that means they're going to win a bunch of games, I don't know. I mean, you think back to those Tiger teams in the early 90s that didn't win a ton, but they were entertaining because Cecil Fielder was putting the ball over the fence. Pete Incaviglia was hitting home runs. You know, they had guys that at least brought you to the ballpark and would put a smile on your face because they did something. It was overall not a good team. This team overall should be on paper as we go into the beginning of the season, should have been a decent team, and they haven't played like that. Injuries play a role, and other guys have just regressed. Are they going to, is water finding its level now? We'll see where they're at. I'm not getting excited about two games.
I'm not either.
You know, but talk to me at the end of the month, and we'll see.
Yeah. And then, you know.
We're talking tomorrow because we do a daily talk show. Yeah. Yeah. Don't, by all means, don't wait to tune in until July 1st. You're allowed to tune in tomorrow. We'll still be talking about this.
248-539-9797. More your phone calls and feedback. What have you thought watching Tiger baseball the last 2 days? We need all of your help for our guy Kang. He's got a challenge ahead, and he's not sure how to approach it. I think I know how, but we'll get to that today at 11:02. It is Carson Anderson here on 90.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Someone. There you go. Adam and Warren sent us a text earlier. I'm the one that jinxed the Tigers. I have my profile picture of my Tiger stuff in the background on my Facebook page, took it down, and they won two in a row. I'll take the hit. And so we asked the question, well, what did you change it to? And, you know, since he has taken down his profile picture with the Tiger stuff in the background, they've gone on this two-game winning streak, which, given the course of the season, is reason to celebrate.
Sure.
But two in a row. So we asked, what did he change it to? And he wrote back. Now, Kang, you got a hint?
Yeah, Gator, I know you're into music a lot. It is music related. I'd like you to guess, actually. We're not going to go too long with this, so I'll make it quick. It's a band.
Okay. Is it...
So he's Adam and Warren. You want to just stereotype Adam and Warren here without knowing anything about him?
I know. I don't do that, Kang. I don't do stereotypes.
And the Adams, often. You know, that like music?
Adam!
I was going to say an album cover, but is it like a famous album cover? Like Dark Side of the Moon or Eric B. and Rakim Paid in Full or something like that?
I love you.
So we have Doug's guess. Right. Gator.
Is it Greta Van Fleet?
No.
Is it Detroit-centric or Michigan-centric?
No.
Okay.
It's one syllable.
Kesha.
Kesha.
K-E dollar sign, huh?
Sorry. It is one syllable, right?
Kesha. Let's work with one
job,
syllable.
Doug.
Nice. Nice job.
Is it Super Kesha Fred? Right. Yeah,
is it Florence and the Machine? Brilliant, Scott. One syllable. Kesha.
You know, my five-year-old's learning syllables right now.
That's good. Good for her. Yeah. Yeah. I need to go back to school.
Okay, we got guesses coming in here on Twitch. Do you want me to get some of these?
Sure.
Greg says Korn.
Okay.
Kelby says Tool.
Those are monosyllabic. That's good.
Yeah, there you go, Gator.
I don't know.
I run out of bands with one syllable, or maybe you're thinking of two syllable bands.
Okay, that's the problem. I have to go through it in my head and no, it's two. No, that's three.
He's clapping out work. Quietly. Aerosmith.
Is it more classic or is it like more modern?
More classic.
More classic. Styx.
Ooh.
It's not Styx.
No, it wouldn't be Styx.
Of course not, because we know so much about Styx. Adam and Warren.
Right, yeah, right. Oh, wait, it's from Warren?
Yeah.
We should probably stereotype
it. Yeah. Eastside, come on.
Rush.
Bam. Oh. Doug nailed it.
Come on. Let's go. There you go.
Boom.
Denny Lee, Alex Lifeson, the late Neil Peart.
I know who none of those guys are.
Doug,
I just thought of one syllable.
You wrote back, he's got pictures of the group Rush in the background now.
That's awesome. All right, there we go.
Well, I hope that doesn't mean Rush is going to cancel the tour.
That's what I'm saying.
Here's what's crazy is some people think that the offensive explosion is because Carpenter and Torres is back. Now we know Adam changed his background and his Facebook profile picture to the band Rush. So let's get back to your phone calls. That was great. Thank you, Adam. 248-539-9797. I've never been more proud. Kevin in Sterling Heights. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
Hey, no, I'm not buying that yet about, the two-game win streak because they tried to get that first game away. They was up big and then they had to hold on in the last inning again.
So what have you thought watching this team the last 2 days?
They're still scary. I don't trust them.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's certainly valid. There's no reason. Two games is absolutely, like, that's two plays in a football game.
Yeah, nowhere near sample size enough.
Nope. How many games would make it be a big enough sample size for you, Kevin?
I'd even give them less than, like, maybe 10. If they win, like, 8-2.
Okay. I mean, look, it'd be cool. They're a long way away from accomplishing that. They've looked like a completely different baseball team, though. They spent the entire month of May like battling what's more inept, the offense, the bullpen. Like, it was so much that looked inept. I thought AJ had a rough month.
Yeah.
And now they come back and, yeah, it would take a lot. But it's been so weird to look the opposite. Now, they did have bullpen nightmares. Let's not forget what Monday was. Monday was a mess.
It was
from
a mess.
A bullpen perspective.
Look, today's game, I mean, there aren't really big games that take place in June. But for validation of what they've done, today's kind of a big game. They're taking out a pitcher in Nick Martinez who has an earned run average like 1.6. He's thrown over 60 innings this year. He's been awfully good. He's not a strikeout pitcher, per se. Doesn't give up many home runs, but is a contact pitcher. I'm curious to see all the contact the Tigers have had the last two games, and it has been hard contact.
Yeah.
Can they continue that for a third game against a really good pitcher? Because if they do, then, okay, maybe the eyebrow starts to rise a little bit. You're like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But to do it against a really good pitcher, if they win the game, that means they swept Tampa at Tampa.
Which is hysterical because they've played multiple series where we have had the thought, well, at least they're playing so-and-so next to get right, and then they get swept.
Yeah.
And then they play somebody else. Well, at least they're going to so-and-so, and they suck, and then they get swept. And now you go to Tampa. If they sweep the Rays, like, what kind of upside-down world are we living in?
Well, you can look and say it's a different team than they were 4 days ago.
Well, you can also look and say that's baseball. Like, baseball, well,
yes, it's baseball, but, I mean, it's literally a different team when you add players. They just added Carpenter and Torres.
Yep.
So, Carp didn't play last night. Neither did McGonigal. Neither did Colt Keith. All three of those guys, I imagine, are in the lineup today against a right-handed pitcher.
Kevin in a van writes in, my main takeaway the last two games is that playing in an inside stadium is a baseball sin. Oh, and the bats are finally alive. Finally. Mark my words, the Tigers will be buyers at the deadline. That's from an unnamed texter. Tiger thought sun shines on a dog's ass once in a while. It's from Ryan in a truck.
Dogs like that.
The Tigers are an abusive boyfriend who is doing everything right the past 2 days to win me back.
No. I don't like that analogy.
It's been a bad relationship.
Bad relationship. Let's just say
maybe I'll give it another whirl. Yeah, abusive. Yeah, let's just say you're in a bad relationship and you know it's a bad relationship. And then you have a good phone call.
He's cheating on me.
A very complimentary text. Guys, I own enough new era fitted Tiger hats to wear a different one every day of this season. I haven't worn a hat in 2 days. The streak is on. Random hat stays on till they lose. It's from Ryan Clarkson. I own enough new era fitted Tiger hats to wear a different one every day of the season. Let's stop there. Let's not bury the lead. Holy cow.
How many hats, man?
Well, that would be at least 162, Scott.
Thanks for the math, Doug. That's insane.
I haven't worn one in 2 days. This doesn't make sense. So he's been no hat the last 2 days.
Well, then you can't wear the hat.
Then he writes, the streak is on. Random hat stays on till they lose. You said you didn't wear one. So what do you mean random hat stays on till they lose, Roy? Clarification, Roy.
Maybe he meant he didn't wear a Tigers hat the last two days.
It's not a random hat. He's just wearing random hat.
He's just wearing a random non-Tiger hat.
Like he's wearing some random Montana skiing hat.
Or maybe like a Rush hat.
Both in my collection, for sure. David of Clinton Township. Hello, David.
Hey, first off, Rush hats are no joke, man. Rush is the Rush.
Rush is solid.
We are just fanatical, aren't we? Anyway, so it's always been my contention that if you're playing to a level of your competition, that's a coaching issue. And let's face it, he's been playing billy ball, not to age myself, for 2.5 seasons. Eventually, that stuff wears thin.
I mean, I guess it's hard for me to imagine that over two seasons where he took what we all admit isn't the best roster in baseball or probably even close to the postseason, eventually it catches up to him. Is that really what you believe, that two seasons was not a big enough sample size?
I'm just saying, I mean, like I said, I use Billy Martin as an example. And his act always wore thin and had to go somewhere else.
It was personality, though, as much as anything with him, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, and AJ Hinch and personal issues. Yeah,
yeah. I don't think AJ Hinch is fighting with players and out drinking all night.
No, I don't think he's doing that.
97.1.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.